Scientific testing of DNA has freed scores of people from prison, but their stories don't end when the jail doors open. Yesterday on this program, we met Frederick Day, a man who was exonerated of rape, but says two employers fired him anyway. We're about to meet two more men who spent years in prison before being cleared. They're pictured in a book called The Innocents. Some of the men in this book have prior convictions, but courts exonerated them of specific crimes after they spent years in prison. Photographer Taryn Simon took their pictures, and she wanted us to see more than just their faces. She also gathered their stories, and she often posed them at the crime scenes.
So I tried to load the photograph with as much information about the case by going to these sites, whether it be the scene of the crime, the alibi location, the scene of misidentification, and give the viewer as much information on that level. I really wanted to recognize how important context is. And that's why their cases are necessary, and also their voices are necessary, which is something that had been taken away from them for so long.
My name is Dennis Fritz, and I was wrongfully incarcerated in an Oklahoma penitentiary for 12 years for the crime of first-degree murder.
Can you just tell me how it came to pass that a high school science teacher, you, were arrested and connected to this horrible crime, which had happened several years before your arrest? This was a rape and murder.
Yeah, it was a rape and murder. I had just moved to that area in Oklahoma, and I actually knew nobody there. I had come in contact with the co-defendant, Mr. Williamson. The murder happened December the 8th, 1982, and they had no actual suspects. There was no eyewitnesses to the crime. So they chose to focus in on Mr. Williamson as being the prime suspect. The police found out that I had had association with Mr. Williamson, and apparently I had became one of his only friends at that time during which this murder, you know, had occurred. So they started focusing in on myself as well, and there should have never ever been, you know, this conviction.
Well, they found some hairs on the victim, right?
Yes.
And in the time before DNA evidence, there was an expert who said these hairs could have belonged to you.
Right. The state made their case after both the co-defendant and myself were incarcerated by jailhouse snitches. These jailhouse snitches had been used by the police covertly to attempt to gain information from me.
The portrait of you is particularly striking because of who you're photographed with.
With my mother and daughter. It was taking us back to the nightclub there where the victim worked. Was very emotional for myself and, of course, along with my family members there.
You didn't see your family for more than 10 years, for 11 years while you were in prison.
Actually, I did stay in communication with my mother and her sister. My daughter, I would not allow my daughter to come to the penitentiary. You know, I kept thinking to myself that, you know, I just don't want my daughter, you know, to see her father incarcerated as such. And she was at an early age also, which was a factor in that.
You must have wanted to see her.
Oh, yes, definitely. I wanted to see her, you know, so much. At her tender age, she was 12 years old when I went in and 24 when I got out. And I kept saying to myself, I'm going to be free, you know, and, you know, this can't keep on going on and on and on. Well, as a matter of fact, you know, it did up until 12 years.
Dennis Fritz, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
We want to speak very briefly to another subject of this book of photography. His name is David Shepard. He's from Newark, New Jersey, which is where he's photographed in one of the swamps, it looks like, outside of New Jersey, standing among the phragmites, the weeds that grow taller than he does in Newark, New Jersey. Mr. Shepard, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, in your case, a woman was abducted and assaulted by two men. I want to just summarize very briefly some of her belongings were found afterward near Newark Airport. You worked at Newark Airport at the time, and so they had the victim look at some of the employees from the airport, and you were falsely identified, right?
Correct.
And convicted.
Yes, I was.
And how long were you in prison?
I was in prison for 11 and a half years.
Everybody in prison, I guess, says that they weren't.
Oh, of course. And that's what you have to contend with, because everybody there, you know, says that they didn't do it. It's like, who you're going to believe and who you're not going to believe.
And everybody out of prison must try to convince people the same thing.
Oh, that's most definitely. And so it was a struggle, but my family and even my girlfriend, you know, they stayed with me those 11 and a half years. And for them to stay with me, the 11 and a half years that they stayed with me, had to say something about the type of person I was and the type of person that I'm trying to get back to being. I've never been convicted of crime, not even a traffic ticket at the time. You know, so this was something that came out of nowhere, and I'm still trying to adjust to it.
And have you? What kind of work have you found since you got out of prison?
Just until recently, I had been working at a halfway house as a counselor.
You've continued working with convicts?
Oh, no doubt, because I really think a lot of people are in prison because of lack of an education, a lack of, you know, knowing what to do when they do get in trouble.
These guys that you're working with now, these guys who are just getting out of prison, a lot of them probably are guilty of what they did. Or are they? I don't know.
Some of them are, some of them aren't. I don't know either. But I don't think that even if you go to prison doesn't mean that your life is over, that you don't deserve a second chance. You can be better than you once was. You can be different than you once was. Just because that's a stigma against you now doesn't mean that your life is over.
David Shepherd, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Taryn, I'd like to just ask you one more question, if I may.
Sure.
In more than one instance, you brought the convicted attacker, in many mm-hmm. cases a rapist, mm-hmm. together with the victim or the victim's family.
Mm-hmm.
Was that hard?
That was extremely difficult. I mean, in the case of Ronald Cotton and Jennifer Thompson, that was a relationship that was established.
Ronald Cotton was convicted of raping Jennifer Thompson.
Yes.
What does it say that I look at that picture of this ex-convict, in a real way an ex-convict, putting his arm around the person he was convicted of raping, and just for an instant, until you think about the circumstances, it's chilling.
Well, it's chilling on a lot of different levels, and I think a lot of people have trouble understanding how there can be that level of forgiveness, which is always the most remarkable thing when you're traveling across the country. Meeting all of these people, they really have kind of reached this level that I, as a more objective viewer, cannot reach. And there's incredible forgiveness for all the parties involved in what has happened to them, which is always shocking, but I guess that's the only way you can sort of make it through all of it without going mad.
Photographer Taryn Simon. Her book is called The Innocents, and you can find photos and extended interviews at npr.org.